take your Bibles tonight. We're actually going to start down a bit of a journey here tonight. We're going to start a little series on the acceptable year of our Lord. We're going to take a look at, over the next few months, the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. This holiday was in honor or to recognize his birth. And even though it's not his actual birthday, that's the whole point of it. And I thought, well, why don't we actually take a look at who Jesus Christ was and what he did and what he did during his life and his ministry. But before we can go down that path and learn that information, we have to know, why was Jesus Christ important? Why was he necessary as our Savior? Why did God have to send his only begotten Son? So you can take your Bibles and you go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. 1 John 4, 14. So we need to see, what's the deal with Jesus Christ? Like Jerry Seinfeld, what's the deal with Jesus Christ? 1 John 4, 14. That was a pretty good impression. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Okay. He sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That's what it says. So why did the world need saving? What did it need saving from? Those are questions we must ask ourselves. We have to look at the condition of the world when it was created and compare it to where it was, or where it is today. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God's word says the world needed saving. Was it from Godzilla? Maybe. I don't know. We haven't gotten there yet. Was it from, who's a really bad guy in a movie? Niccolo? Was it from Thanos in the Marvel movies? Who knows? God does. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was just okay. He could have done better. Back to the drawing board. No, it says it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. At the outset, God made everything very good. Very good. Not just good. It wasn't just, hey, this is good. It was very good. So all that God talks about in the preceding verses here that he created was very good. Verse 26, if you jump up, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So in these two verses, we learn a couple things. We learn that God created man in his image. And you don't have to turn there, but John 4:24 tells us that God is spirit. So that's God's image. So God created man as a spirit being. Part of man was spirit. So he gave him spirit, and he gave him, God gave them dominion over the very good world that he had created. It says in verse 26, he let them have dominion over all of that stuff. So God creates a very good place. He creates man with spirit, and he gives that man dominion over the very good thing he created. So far, everything seems very good. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man. He formed man of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living what?
Soul.
Okay, so he formed man out of the dust of the earth. He took the organic components found in nature and formed man's physical body. So now man had a physical form. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, giving him a soul, soul life. So man is body, soul, and spirit, between those two verses. He is body, soul, and spirit. If you want to leave your finger here, go to chapter 35, verse 18. We're going to learn a little something about the soul real quick on this detour. Genesis 35, 18. It says, and it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died. Okay? We don't have to read the rest of the verse. That's the point. When her soul departed, she died. So that soul is the essence of the life part of man. If you stop breathing, if you die, then your soul is done. That's like the life part of it. So you have this physical body, the shell, and then you have the soul life. That when you die, that's the end of that. And then we have spirit. So go back to chapter 1, verse 28. Chapter 1, 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. It needed replenishing because it became without form and void. Remember in verse 1 and 2, it became without form and void. So they had to replenish it. And they had to subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God is, second time in as many verses, telling them that they are to have dominion. They're to subdue the earth. It's theirs. Okay? It's theirs. He made it for them. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. So he gave them plenty to eat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. So God made all of this wonderful stuff. It was all very good. It was all very good. Chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. I just made all this wonderful food for you that we just heard about. Verse 17. But, and this is the biggest but in history, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what?
Die.
Thou shalt surely die. So, God gave man all of this stuff that was very good. Body, soul, and spirit. Dominion over the earth. He even gave them freedom of will. Along with that freedom of will, he gave them instructions. And the instruction that he gave them was, you can eat anything except this. That's pretty good instruction. Seems like they had quite a bit available to them. But God said, you can't eat that. And the consequences were made clear. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That seems like a pretty big deal. So, that's God's instruction. Again, you can, you don't have to hold your finger. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. So this is the situation. This is how God created everything. And it's all very good. He set it all up. The world doesn't need saving. Adam and Eve are happy. They're going to replenish the earth. They have dominion over the whole planet. And they have one simple instruction. Don't eat that. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, And so death passed upon all men, for that all have what? Sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is to come. Uh-oh. So something bad happened. By one man, and it says in verse 14, that man was Adam. Adam's transgression, sin entered the world, and death by sin. Death by sin. All right. I guess we should have told you to keep your Bible there. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis 3, 1. So this is, God said that because of what Adam did, death was the result. Death was the result. Well, God did say, if you disobey me, you shall surely die. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Didn't God say you can eat of every tree? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. So now we have two opposing viewpoints. God said one thing, and the serpent, who is the devil, said something else. And they're complete opposites. They can't coexist. Either they're going to die or they're not going to die. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You get to know good and evil. God made something that was what? Very good. What did they know? Very good stuff. Here's an opportunity to know evil. Wow. That's pretty crazy. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And God had told them that in the day you eat thereof, they would surely die. They would surely die. Genesis 5:5 says that Adam lived 930 years. And then he died. So the way that Adam died, Adam and Eve died that day, was they lost their spirit life. They lost that spirit, that direct connection with God. Because he lives on for another 930 years, and then his soul life ends, right? Just like that woman we read about. That's when his physical body dies. But the death that it talked about in Romans 5 that passed unto all men was that spiritual death. Every man since then didn't have spirit. We get born, we don't have spirit. We're just body and soul people. That death passed to everybody from that point on. So he had made a decision, he had made a choice that went from very good to evil, to death. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. So those were the consequences. And the adversary lied. He was the wrong one. God was the right one. That's a surprise, I'm sure. Ephesians 2, 1. Ephesians 2, 1 says, and you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were, past tense, dead in trespasses and what? Sins. So that dead isn't referring to our physical body, obviously. It's referring to our spiritual body. And this is addressed to the born-again believer. The born-again believer. So the death is in the trespasses and sins. It's a spiritual death and a disconnection from God. A disconnection from God. God is spirit. And we lost that spirit when Adam and Eve transgressed. Go to 1 Samuel 10. 1 Samuel 10:10. So you can read about it. We're going to read real quickly a little bit about it. There's lots and lots of records in the Old Testament about people who had spirit placed upon them. So they were body and soul people without spirit, and God put Holy Spirit upon them. But that was a temporary state. 1 Samuel 10:10. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And this him is Saul. When they came hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met Saul. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Chapter 16, verse 14. So God placed his Spirit upon him. 16:14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now it was gone. The Holy Spirit that was upon Saul was lost. Go to 2 Samuel 23. So the Spirit that God could place upon these men and women, it was temporary. Samuel, 2 Samuel 23:1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God, of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was where? In my tongue. And the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Having this Holy Spirit on men and women allowed God to communicate his word to them. And it allowed men and women to operate power. Right? So that Holy Spirit, when it was there, gave God an avenue. It gave these men and women power. It gave them communication with God. Allowed him to communicate his word to his people. So, but it was only temporary. It could be taken away at any moment. Go to Luke chapter 4, verse 5. There was another consequence that took place when Adam sinned. Right? God made man, body, soul, spirit. That spirit was lost. So that's consequence number one. That spirit was very good, but it was lost. Luke 4, verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Speaking of Jesus Christ. So the devil takes him up, Jesus Christ, and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is what? Delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, whoever I want to, I can give it. And so this is the temptation of Jesus Christ. And that adversary, the devil, is offering him dominion over the world. Because it says that it belonged to the devil now. So remember that Adam had dominion, and now we read that the devil had dominion. So when Adam sinned, that dominion was transferred to the devil. And that's really not good either. One would not categorize that as very good. So that's another consequence. Genesis 3, 17. So now we've got two problems. Man has lost spirit. The spirit part of man has died. And the world that God gave to Adam now belongs to the adversary. Yikes. Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam he said, God's talking to Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow, labor, work, or toil is that word. Shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good. He had it all good. Now he knows evil too. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he is ejected from the Garden of Eden. He's banished. And Adam's environment goes from one that is very good, full of wonderful things to eat, and all this fruit that just grows on these trees, and he can just grab it and pick everything he needs to eat, to cursed. He would have to work hard and sweat among thorns and thistles in order to eat. And that's much worse than the way he had it. That's no longer very good. And then God also tells Adam about his eventual second death, his physical one. He's going to return to the earth someday. So sin, condemnation, and death entered the world as a result of Adam's transgression. Spirit life is lost, and with it, man's ability to have a full relationship with God. Dominion is passed to the devil, and things went from very good to very bad. And this is why mankind needed salvation and a savior. It was very good, and it got really bad. So God needed to send a savior. Go to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel. So mankind now needed a savior. There was lots that needed saving. It was a very bad time. And now it was a very good time, and now it's a very bad time. God created things really nice, and man screwed it up. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel 2, 28. 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my what? Spirit. So God had a plan. Although spirit was lost, it was God's intention to one day pour it back out upon all people. It was God's plan, his intention, to restore that spirit to mankind. Back a couple pages to Daniel 7, verse 13. Daniel 7:13. I saw in the night. Daniel 7:13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. So although dominion was lost, it is God's plan, God's intention, to have it transferred to his son, to one day give it back. grab it back from the adversary. Go to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. 51 verse 3. So in a future time, it's God's plan, intention to give that back, that dominion back. Isaiah 51, 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. Zion is another term for Jerusalem, the Holy Land. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness, that barren area, that waste place, like what? Eden. And her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found there, and thanksgiving and the voice of melody. So although the environment that God built for Adam and Eve in Eden was lost, it's God's intention to restore it. It's God's intention to restore it. So these things that were lost because of what Adam and Eve did, God's plan is to restore these things. And that's why we needed a Savior. That plan starts with Jesus Christ. Go to Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Our God is a fair and a just God. He gave all of this stuff to mankind. And he gave them freedom of will to do with it what they wanted. Now they messed it up. And God, because he is fair and just, wasn't just going to wave his hand and put everything back to the way he first made it. Said, oh, I screwed up. I'll do over. He's going through the proper, fair, just, righteous channels to make it right again. Luke 1, 31. And behold, this is the angel speaking to Mary on behalf of God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom shall there be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So God told Mary that she would give birth to his Son. His Son. And that his kingdom would have no end. Matthew 1:18. Matthew 1. Verse 18. And this is what he tells Joseph. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, or of God, pregnant with God's kid. Then Joseph, her husband, being just a man, and not willing to make her a public example, or being a just man, not just a man, being a just man, he was just a man also, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from what?
their sins.
Their sins. So God tells Joseph that Jesus would be mankind's savior. The world needed saving. And God reveals to Joseph that this child will be the savior that was promised. The savior that was promised. Go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. John 1:29 says, "The next day John, the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so John declares God's plan to all that were there. Jesus would take away the sin of the world. He was to be the Savior. This was his job. So now we see God's plan, right? God intended for the world to have a Savior, for all of these things to be restored that were lost. And we see who is going to carry it out. That's Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at what Jesus Christ thought of this whole idea. Matthew 20, verse 28. Matthew 20, 28. Matthew 20, 28 says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to what? Minister. And to give his life a ransom or a payment for many." So Jesus knew that he didn't come here to get ministered to. He didn't come here to get taken care of. He didn't come here for everybody to treat him wonderfully and shower him with great things. He didn't come here to be waited on and served. He came to minister. He came to serve. He came to do a job. And that job was to give his life as payment for many. His one life would pay for everyone else's. John 4:34. John 4:34. So we have to remember, God gave man freedom of will, and he never took that away. So a man, by the freedom of his own will, transgressed. He sinned, and everything was lost. Went from being very good to not so great. And Jesus Christ was a man who had freedom of will. And so he had to make the decision to carry out God's plan in order for it to be just. John 4:34, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." His meat, what his purpose, what drove him was to do God's will, to do what God asked him to do, and to finish the job. He would do what God wanted and complete the job. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." That's not my purpose. "I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." So he would fulfill all the law in doing his job. In order for him to do his job, he would fulfill all of the law. Everything that God asked of man in his law, Jesus Christ, would live by that. Matthew 15, 24. Matthew 15:24. But he answered and said, Jesus Christ, but he answered and said, I am not sent, but, or except, unto the lost sheep of the house of what? Israel. And this is important for us to know when we look at his life and his ministry. His sacrifice was for all mankind, but his immediate ministry was to Israel. He was sent to Israel. I am not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So his sacrifice ends up being for all mankind, but his immediate ministry is to the people of Israel. John 3, we're going to close in John 3, verse 1. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered him and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the what? Kingdom of God. That is the, that's what he said. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What does born again mean? How can I come out of my mom again? Jesus answered, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, which is being the first time, and of the what?
Spirit.
He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He knew that this kingdom of God was what he came to make available, and that it could only be entered by the new birth, restoring that spirit life that was lost. So he understood what he was going to be making available. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what?
Saved.
And so he was the Savior. He was the man to fix everything. He was the superhero versus the bad guy. The world went from very good to very bad. And God had a plan. And the man who was going to save everybody was Jesus Christ. And God sent his only begotten Son to do that. So we're going to look at, in the coming weeks, his life and the things that he did in his ministry that led him through God's plan to save the world.